Next one is the stone raptor. A raptor emerges from a body of stone seeking the freedom of flight and an altitude from which it can be seen further and more clearly. Now here we have this sense of, so here this is the card, an image of a raptor's head emerging out of a stone. Now here it suggests the need to seek a higher, broader perspective, to rise above earthbound knowledge and habits and gain a wider vision. The card reminds us that simply being able to see far and wide, as a raptor does when it circles in the sky, is not always enough. You need to be able to know what you're looking at to understand what you're seeing. This card suggests that the raptor, who is part of the earth, and understands the fabric and structure of the world, as symbolized by the stone, is able to better to truly see, to have a vision that's not only broad, but deep and understanding. Because it's easy to see in this card the idea of, well, let's get free from the stone. But actually the stone is holding the raptor in a way that enables the raptor to see deeply into the essence, into the substance of things. The next one is called the Shaping Man. And here you have a man sitting in front of a fire, chiseling the lower part of his body that is stone.
The lower part of his body?
Yes. So the lower part, so that's the upper part of his body, in some ways, is flesh. What's beneath them is starting, his legs are starting to emerge, but the rest of him is embedded in stone. So this is a bit similar to the raptor car. Behind him there's a really kind of starry sky and a full moon. There is, yeah. There's a lot of this. So again, we're working with substance and kind of working with groundedness and levity and gravity, right? So that's part of the principles here. So this represents our ability to create ourselves, to create our shaping, to work with the... Now, what he says here is, in this picture, the man is using his own tools. He's not being freed by outside forces. He's been warmed by the fire. The moon and the stars, suggestive of inner forces and cosmic powers, watch on encouraging, providing their own illumination, but allowing him the freedom to shape himself. This card illustrates our power of choice, our ability to sculpt what we wish to become to our own inner capacities and efforts.
Very different if he's doing that in sunlight.
Yeah. Oh yeah. God, yeah. And last but one, we have the feast. And here we've got a glass of red wine, a glass of white wine, some brie cheese here. Jeremy very fond of brie, so he's obviously put brie in as part of, brie and grapes, he's put that in his, and apples, he's put that in as part of his feast. But if you look in the background of this card, there are leaves and there are little points of light where little unknown beings are watching. They're easily missed.
Mice.
Could be mice, indeed. Could definitely be mice. This is a card of abundance and sharing, of generosity and celebration. So it is, the feasting table is about, yes, abundance, but it's about sharing the abundance. It also represents cooperation. Between human beings is symbolized by the red wine, and the creative formative realms of fairy and the she is symbolized by the white wine, and by the shy, hidden onlookers within the forest. And then finally, we come to the tossing coin, a coin being tipped in the air, a butterfly flapping its wings, which is about the creative moment when all possibilities are up in the air and anything can happen. At such a time, the smallest thought, feeling or act, like the fluttering of butterfly's wings, can influence and shape the outcome. This reminds us the element that lies in the smallest moments and elements of life. How a single word or gesture can set vast changes into motion. The card also suggests trust, that once you set to flip the coin, you can trust in the outcome and have faith in what it will unfold, for your fate is held in powerful spiritual forces of creativity, joy and beauty that have only your highest good in mind. Card also represents the willingness to take a chance, to step out in any direction, to get energy moving. Sometimes you have to throw caution to the winds and trust your fortunes to the flip of a coin, rather than sitting and waiting hesitantly for insight and direction. It's when events are set into motion, when the coin is in the air, you may say clearly what you want to do, what you need to do. It's when energy is moving, you can influence the outcome. The motto of this card is seize the moment. It's about knowing how and when to act to tip probabilities in your favour. So those are the dances.
You've done it. I didn't don't believe it.
I think we've got a lot to go,
don't we? Okay.
No,
we're not going to the rest of it today because we need to. So I just want to. But so all this complexity, right? We just come back to the simplicity again. It's found in these four words: Awen and Tao, Firm and Anyan. The whole story of Taliesin is also about those four words. It is about the work of creation, the movement of the Awen. But it's also about the ability to enter into stillness and to listen and to allow the shaping to keep on recreating ourselves. So the characters of Ceridwen, of Taliesin, of Tigid Voil, Tigid the Bald, of Croywi and Abagzi are all elements of the shaping and the transforming process. And as we work with both gravity and levity, with the Tao and Awen, work with form and that which is the essence, that is the matrix of form. We come into relationship with this unfolding song, which is what we're laying out in both the fixed cards of the stone circle and the fluid cards of the dancers. How we do that is contained in this fifth word called Anwa, which is our style, our particular swagger, our particular expression, our particular sense of incarnation. So trusting the song that works through us. So when we come back to the meditation, the both meditations, where we get present to ourselves, present to our location in time and space, present in relationship to our own particularity, just as we're sitting here, however we find ourselves, in relationship to our soul, our source, our spiritual source, and in our relationship, feel like, to the world of Gaia, and the world of humanity. As we enter into our uprightness, our sovereignty, our sense of will and intention, as we bring that into relationship with our capacity to hold that sovereign light, as we then are touched by the world and touch the world, we enter then into Grail space, into the partnership cosmology. We enter then into that great field of relationship where we are held by Gaia and the universe and are reflected back into, so that sense of the great sea entering into the drop that is ourselves and generating the new body of light within us. that then in turn becomes the new catalyzing energy. So come in the end to this image, really, of the Gaian Grail, where we are the flower, the fiery flower, at the heart of the world, at the heart of the universe. Okay, let's just sit for a moment. We've just got a few minutes left. We'll just sit.